Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Americana artist Charlsie Etheridge learned to sing harmony when she was a child around her grandmother's piano after church on Sundays, and she taught herself guitar chords from her mother's old Emmy Lou Harris songbook. Hailing from the foothills of the North Georgia Appalachian Mountains, Charlsie joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about her forthcoming album, Scars of Mine.
Hi, Charlsie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to chat with us today. You are in Nashville, right?
Well, I'm back and forth. I kind of divide my time between Nashville and North Georgia and Dalton, Georgia, which is my hometown. So I'm kind of back and forth these days.
Okay. All right. Cool. So grew up in Georgia. When did the music bug hit you?
Oh, goodness. Well, gosh, you know, I really don't remember a time when music was not really just a central part of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here in my music room, and on my wall, I have a picture of me when I was probably about three, and wow. I was in my grandfather's basement, and I have a microphone and headphones on with a huge boombox behind me. You know, it's just kind of always been with me.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Did I read that you had actually wrote your first song when you were seven?
I did. It was called On the Power Line, about my stepfather's hunting club down in South Georgia.
Okay.
I remember it very well, and don't ask me to sing it though.
Okay.
I wrote it. We would always ride around, you know, looking for, you know, tracks and putting out salt blocks on his hunting property in an old army jeep. And
cool.
Me and my mom were in the front, and I would sit right there in the back court, you know, in the middle. And I remember, you know, the day that I wrote it, just as vivid as yesterday.
Wow. Did you realize what you were doing? Was it more of a poetry, or were you intentionally writing music? Like, had it already sunk in for you at that point?
Well, you know, I think it was just a way to pass the time, because, mm-hmm. You know, riding through the woods looking for deer tracks wasn't something that I was terribly interested in at that time. But music was, like I said, was always there. And so I was always singing something.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, you know, was just kind of having fun.
Was that part of your school growing up? Were you in groups, church choirs? How did that play out for you in your younger years?
So in my younger years, I definitely, you know, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church right at the foot of Fort Mountain, which is a part of the Appalachian Mountain,
mm-hmm.
You know, train. And it was just a beautiful view of the mountains. And my grandparents, actually on my mom's side and my dad's side, both of them had church groups, you know, little mm-hmm. quartets that they would sing with. Mm-hmm. My grandmother on my mom's side had a group called the Cool Springs Quartet, and they actually came to Nashville back, probably 60s, 70s, and recorded with Landy Gardner, which is pretty big in the Christian
right,
world.
Sure.
And so they have three records that they recorded back in the day, and I have copies of those that are very dear to me, vinyls. And so, you know, they were always singing, and I grew up in the church around that. And naturally, you know, I started singing solos in church at a very young age as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would all gather at my grandmother's after church. And so after lunch, we would sit around the piano and sing, and my grandmother would teach me harmonies. She always sang alto and tenor parts. And, so she would teach me those. And so that's where, you know, my kind of foundation is in that kind of Southern gospel, bluegrass roots there. And then from there in school, as soon as I was old enough to be in the chorus, I, you know, was a part of that. I had my first solo in school when I was in third grade, and I remember that very well. I'm still friends with my third grade music teacher.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah, and so that just carried on through middle school, high school, and I did go to college for music. So, yeah, so that's just, again, it's just always been, you know, I've never been able to kind of push it aside, even though, you know, you sometimes think, you know, am I crazy for doing this?
Right, yeah.
but something just doesn't feel right when I'm not, you know, actively involved in music. So
is there other things that you've done or that you do outside of music, other professional endeavors?
So, well, I moved to Nashville straight out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2003. And, of course, at that time, you know, it was survival, doing what I had to do to, you know, make sure to keep the lights on and food in my belly. Uh-huh. So, for the first couple of years, I, waited tables like so
everybody
many,
else there. Yeah.
Like everybody else. That's exactly right. And, you know, that kind of worked pretty well. I was able to wait tables at night, and I wrote during the day.
Yeah, okay.
I just, that's all I did. I jumped in, and there was a long time, you know, when I first, you know, like I said, you know, quote unquote, wrote my first song. And then, you know, you grow up, I think middle school, high school, you get extremely self-conscious,
uh-huh, right?
And you, I don't know, you shy away maybe from some of those artistic expressions a little bit.
Sure.
And so, but when I moved to Nashville, I quickly realized, you know, the way to get my voice heard was to write. And so I kind of dove back in and really started getting back to the guitar as well. So I was really kind of, honing that craft during the day. I would just write and play, and I had a little tape recorder, you know, because back in 2003, we didn't have iPhones.
That's right. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'd have a little tape recorder, and I'd record myself, you know, and like, well, how does that sound? Okay. Well, that's okay. But let's, you know, not quite there yet. And so I have all these tapes of, you know, me learning and writing, and back in those early days. And so then I'd go wait tables at night, and did that for a few years. And then I started teaching private lessons, music lessons, to get out of the, you know, restaurant scene.
Right.
Because it was hard. It's a hard gig.
Yeah.
So year two, three, I started teaching music lessons, and pretty much I've done that on and off, for the past 20 years now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I still, you know, even have a few, locally that I still teach. I just can't seem to, you know, completely shut that off. I do think it's important to give back.
Yeah.
And especially for those children that really are excited about learning music or learning an instrument. And so that always brings a smile to my face whenever, you know, I can share that.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. So the first solo album, or the full-length album, I think I read, was 2013. Was that your first project?
It was my first full-length project. Uh-huh. You know, I had done a few, like, songwriter EPs.
Okay.
Dave Pomeroy, sure. bass player in Nashville, he produced one of those for me. You know, I did several of those through the years for, you know, my original songs. But then I just kind of, one day I just said, you know, I just want to really do an album that pays homage to my roots
yeah.
and the songs that I grew up singing and a tribute to the people in my life that shared music with me, like right. my grandmother. So some of those songs on there, like Filipino Baby that we recorded, you know, I never heard the original version of that until after I had recorded it. So when I recorded it, I just did it off of memory of what my grandmother
said
to
okay.
me.
Neat. That's cool.
And she would always sing to me. She was a great storyteller. Mm. And so she would tell me stories about her youth and just sing me songs all the time.
So, that's so cool.
I really cherish those memories for sure. And that's what the title of that record is Memories of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of appropriate for that. So those are just songs I grew up with that really, you know, are meaningful to me.
Do you have a particular style, format, rhythm of a system of some kind that you use when you write? How does that happen for you?
You know, I think it's... there's no one set way
uh-huh.
that I do it. You know, it's really great whenever, you know, lightning strikes, you know,
sure. yeah.
and you feel this burst of information
yeah.
or inspiration, I should say, not information, the inspiration. But you know that those times are not always the case. That's not always how it happens. I will say the last song that I wrote a few months ago, we had been on a trip to Maui, Hawaii. I lived there for about a year, and I was back helping celebrate a friend's business, their 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love the islands. They're very special to me, especially right now. They're going through a lot of hardship, so it's really tragic. But when we came back, you know, I just walked. I was walking my dog in my yard, and we have these huge magnolia trees in our front yard. And, you know, as beautiful as the islands are, and as much as I do consider that one of my homes away from home, I just looked over to these magnolia trees and I just smiled this biggest smile. And this song or title, Where the Magnolias Bloom,
mm.
kind of came to me. And so I wrote this kind of song to my home. And like, it's really nice to be able to travel all over. But, you know, there's really no... my heart will always, you know, have this home here where the magnolias bloom.
Yeah, that's
and,
cool.
So it's something as simple as that, you know, mm-hmm. looking at a tree, your nature, or sometimes I'll just sit down at, you know, the keyboard or with my guitar. A lot of times it's just I sit down with my guitar and, you know, make sure I have some peace and quiet, you know, nobody, you know, wanting my attention, no electronics on, and I'll just start playing, and sometimes words or a melody. Usually the hook or the idea title will come
mm-hmm.
first more often for me,
mm.
and then I'll kind of build around that. But sometimes it's not what I think it's going to be. At first, you know, you hear this title or whatnot, but then you start writing it, and some, you know, songs have a life of their own.
Yeah.
And I'm reading Mary Gaucher's Saved by a Song book right now, and she talks about kind of following that song down the rabbit hole, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to kind of be willing to go where it goes. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right, you know. So, Yeah.
So, new project on the way. Scars of Mine, is that the right name?
It is, Scars of Mine. And when I wrote that song, I was not in any way, shape, or form thinking about my first album that was Memories of Mine.
Right.
So next album, I don't think it's going to be anything of mine.
Or maybe that's the name of your next album.
Right. I already have an idea for my next album, but I don't want to give that away quite yet. Scars of Mine. So I talked about my grandmother on my mother's side. Her name was Linda. And she grew up in South Georgia in Augusta, one of nine children. Mm-hmm. And her father was a sharecropper and a bootlegger, like a lot of people were back in that time.
Yeah.
And they called him the General. And, from her stories and more so from what I've heard from a lot of other people in the family over the years is he was not a very nice man to be around.
Mm.
Very cruel. And she would tell me about them kind of hiding out from the police and, you know, whatnot. And people hiding out in their house to spy on him. And I mean, just like really bizarre things. Mm. And, you know, when they would take it, he, you know, went to jail a few times. And a lot of her time, looking back on it now, like, I think a lot of her escape was she always played with these paper dolls by their creek.
Hmm.
And that was her kind of escape.
Yep.
You know, from what she had to deal with. And so I wrote this song thinking about her as a child and growing up and thinking about the stories she told me and just what kind of all that meant and how that must have felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, she her father did die in a house fire. The last verse of that Scars of Mine song, you know, tells of that a little. And she did watch that house burn down knowing he was inside.
Mm.
And they were unable to rescue him, or, you know, nobody really knows how the fire started.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's lots of suspicions,
sure.
Right? But
yep.
but nobody knows. But so all that's a true story.
Yeah,
and she went through a lot. She, at 28, she had a nervous breakdown.
Hmm.
Was able through the years to find ways to cope, you know, mentally and emotionally. There was always that kind of unrest with her and you could tell that. And I just think that's really tragic. So hence Scars of Mine, like, you know, some things just never go away,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
She's no longer with us. But that song is in her honor.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's neat. Album comes out later in September, is that right? So not,
yes, September 29th.
But the single's out.
The single is out, yes. Scars of Mine, the single is out. We've also released Rhythm of Love, another song on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting ready this week, August 18th, to release a song called Doing Wrong, Feel Right. So that'll be the third release off of the album.
Okay. What is your goal with the music and how do you plan to share it with your audience? Will you tour? Do you have performances lined up? What does that look like?
Yeah, we're working on filling up the calendar. I'm working with the good fellows over at CDX Records and working with them also with their booking agency they have in-house. And so, you know, I just really want to, share it with the audiences that, are willing to listen, basically.
Do you have a favorite platform that you like to share live?
So my personal preference, I mean, I love listening rooms because, I think at the core, you know, I am a song, or, you know, I love to write songs. And so I like to be in environments where people want to hear about the stories behind the songs.
Yeah.
The bar gigs, the loud, the cover gigs, I've done them. I've definitely, you know, put in my hours for those.
Sure, yeah.
But my preference is listening rooms, listening audiences, small festival, you know, festival stages. I love that, because I think you have some of those there that are really into, you know, what you're doing. So those are my preferences for sure.
What's the best way for your fan base to reach out, connect with you? How do you like to communicate with those folks?
Yeah, so I will say this. I'm a little slow to hit the TikTok trend.
Yeah.
maybe one day I'll get my stepdaughter to tell me how I need to do that.
There's too many. But, there's too many choices. I don't know.
I know.
And it's hard to be on all of them. I don't know how you pick the right ones.
Well, I'm Instagram is an easy way. Facebook. Both of those platforms I'm on very regularly. Mm-hmm. And I also have a website, charlesetheetheridge.com. So they can reach me there. Those are probably the three best ways. Website, Facebook, and Instagram, all Charles E. Etheridge.
And the album will be available on the streaming download platforms. They'll be out.
Be available everywhere. All streaming platforms, September 29th.
And it's Scars of Mine. And
Scars of Mine.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. It was cool hearing your stories. And, man, I really wish you well with it. I love that song.
So
I love
much.
The Americana feel that it has. And so I'm excited about
Thank
the rest
you.
Of the album for you.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.